Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to Jesus, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The other day, I was talking to some people about the changes in what it's like to work in a school as a teacher. There are new learning standards that have been imposed on schools all over New York State and across the country over the past few years. If you don't have children and you're not a teacher or a former teacher, you might not have heard so much about it, but it's been challenging for people. The standards, in theory, make sense because the idea is that students across the country will study the same sorts of things, and when they get a high school diploma, one that they got in New York State will be similar and mean that they have learned similar things to children who get a high school diploma in Arkansas or Idaho or California. It makes sense, but putting it into practice has been a challenging endeavor. It's challenging for the teachers and for the administrators, and it's challenging for the parents and the students. And my favorite example of this is when it comes to doing math. Now, I'm guessing that almost everyone in this room learned to know their times tables, 1 times 1 and 2 times 2 and 3 times 3, so that we all memorized it up to 12 and could say anything off the top of our head without giving it any thought. But now they've decided in these learning standards that knowing the times tables like that isn't quite as important as figuring out that system of knowing how to multiply. And so they've come up with some kind of strange thing that makes no sense to any parents I know, most students I know, and a lot of the teachers that I know. The problem is that the old way works, and we can show our correct answers. We can get the answer correct when we're helping with homework or doing a practice test. But we don't get full credit for just having the right answer. We have to show how we got there. And if we didn't follow the right steps, then we don't get credit for having the right answer. In these new learning standards, shortcuts don't work. Jesus went into the wilderness after the transfiguration story that we read last week. He went into the wilderness and spent 40 days there, fasting and praying, considering his future, connecting with the world around him and with God. And although the story tells us that the temptations came toward the end of those 40 days when he was famished, I suspect that along the way, there were temptations all the time. He's hungry. He's reminded that he could eat. If he skips the process, if he takes a shortcut, he could command the stones to become bread. He's reminded that if he throws himself to the ground, he will not be injured. He will be held up on the wings of angels who will catch him and prevent him from harm if he takes a shortcut. He's encouraged to turn his allegiance from God to things of a human nature, to things we can control and take care of ourselves if he takes a shortcut. But he decides here in this passage as we read that shortcuts are not the way, but instead that the way is to rely upon the grace and the goodness of God. I find myself uncomfortable when we start reading passages that have so much about the tempter or the devil or Satan. There are times when Satan or the devil is mentioned in our scriptures, but for me, spending too much time focusing on the devil or the tempter instead of ourselves or the people around us gives away our power. Kind of in a similar way that John was talking with the kids. If we spend a lot of time on Satan, we can say that our bad choices are because of that. You've heard it. The devil made me do it. And we don't take responsibility for ourselves. And really, it is ourselves that are in a position to learn. We are the ones who are hungry. We are the ones who want to test our safety. We are the ones who are likely to seek solace somewhere other than in the promises of God. And we are the ones who want to blame someone or something outside ourselves when things aren't going our way. We want to be comfortable. And we want to believe that we are not responsible for moments when we act on our weaknesses. The temptations of life are very real. You know, this little plate of candy that magically appears every week in the pulpit that we hand out at the end of the children's sermon, I discovered that we store the extra candy in my office. And so at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, there is a great temptation for me to say, there's some chocolate bars in that bag of candy over there. Sometimes I have one, sometimes I don't. But it's a great temptation for me. That may not be the temptation that you face in your lives, but we all have things that are calling us like a siren song, and we know that we don't want to give in. We don't want to respond, but it's a challenge. Sometimes we want to take shortcuts in life. We want to get to the front of the line before standing there for a long time. We might spend money on something we just have to have, even though we know we should really put that money in our savings account. Sometimes we find ourselves in an encounter with a person where we might be flirting a little bit and then realizing that we're harming a primary relationship in our lives, hurting someone we love. The things that pull on us are never ending. And learning how to live with that and to turn our backs more often than not is a difficult thing for us to do. This story is more about us and about Jesus than it is about Satan or the evil one or the tempter. He is the foil in the story to help us learn to play off of Jesus. As we read the story, it seems like everything is simple to Jesus. The tempter comes and says, oh, you could turn these stones to bread. Just do it. And Jesus says, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I can't live on bread alone. The scriptures tell me that. So it seems like it was easy for him, but imagine being in his place. 40 days in the wilderness, alone, fasting, and a reminder that there is some power there that you might take advantage of. I suspect that rebuffing the ideas of this temptation was much more difficult than it sounds as we read the story. And I suspect that it was from within himself that these ideas originated. That it was from within that he had to really push back. The longing for food, for safety, for comfort, those are really fundamental things in our lives. We would call those basic human needs. And that's what Jesus is tempted with in the wilderness those days. We all have different things that tempt us. And even when we think we have overcome those temptations, sometime into the future, they're bound to come back. They're fundamental to us. And so we find ways to not give in. We can rely on the Word of God. We can rely on the love that we have felt in that relationship we have with God. We can rely on our friends and our family. Even the notion that if we give in, we'll have to tell somebody and come clean. Those are the ways that we guard against temptation. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. These were phrases that Jesus would have known from his childhood, from his study of the Torah. They're not just simple comebacks to the taunt of a bullying voice in his head or the bully of the tempter around him. They are a lifeline that he used to remind himself of who he was and to whom he belonged. They were strength that helped him to resist what his own mind was urging him to do. We know those temptations of taking shortcuts, getting there the easy way, getting someone else to take responsibility for our own well-being, blaming other people when things go wrong. We know the temptations of turning away from what we believe for a moment of convenience. We know that we should take better care of the environment around us, that we should recycle, that we should throw trash in the trash can and not just litter along the street. We should keep the temperature lower in the winter and higher in the summer, that we should walk more and drive less. And there are times when we just don't do it. Sometimes recycling is not convenient. Sometimes we just want to be a little warmer or a little cooler. We say to ourselves that the small steps we can take don't really even make a difference in the big picture of protecting the environment. Temptation is there in front of us, and sometimes we give in, sometimes without even giving it a thought. It's right there. It's not really very risky for us to be Christians in our culture. We can gather wherever we want, We can gather whenever we want. We can dress however we please. We can pray without others raising their eyebrows. When we go into an establishment together, no one looks at us and wonders if we're about to cause some trouble. Well, for most of us. But think about our Muslim brothers and sisters. They dress differently. They have different traditions. They could stop dressing in that different way, but for many of them, it is part of their faith to dress in a certain way. And they want to be faithful to that belief that is at the core of their being. They don't want to just conform. They want to be faithful. They pray regularly throughout the day. And as they pray, they go through certain rituals that we don't have. And so they stand out by needing to stop and pray at a certain time and be in a certain position as they pray. They could probably get away with praying just as they continued their work. But their faith asks them to stand out and to be a little bit different. They'd be turning their backs on what they thought was right. And yet, every time they demonstrate their faith among our communities, they often are taking a risk. They are beating back the temptation to just blend in and look like one of us so that they can carry out the faith that has been planted in their hearts. Most of us wrestle with temptation that doesn't really show to other people. Our wrestling is internal. Our wrestling is maybe within our family, but not everyone knows the temptations that are likely to take over in our lives. What we learn when we read this passage, this story of Jesus in the wilderness, is that it's possible to manage those temptations, to not give in, to not be one of many, but to be who we are. We can find within ourselves the strength that we need to overcome those temptations. The truth is, we don't always succeed. The good news of that truth is that we always have another chance. One of my favorite sayings is that tomorrow is another day to do the whole thing over. And if you made mistakes today, you learn and you do things again tomorrow and you try not to make the same mistakes. The good news is we have another chance. The good news is that we are called and claimed by God. We are known and we are loved. And when we fall short, we have another chance. And so let us give thanks for the presence and the patience of God in our hearts and our minds. Let us rejoice that God is with us every step of the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.